This is the feast of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the book of Proverbs. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity, and of old before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of water as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not as yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth. He had not as yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When with a certain law and compass he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above and poised the fountains of waters, when he compassed the sea with its bounds and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits, when he had balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him forming all things, and I was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world, and my delights were to be with the children of men. Now, therefore, children, hear me. Blessed are they who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man who hears me and who watches daily at my gates and waits at the posts of my doors. He who shall find me shall find life and shall have salvation from the Lord. Please stand for the gospel. The holy gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And when the angel had come to her, he said, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So this morning, Father gave a slight announcement before reading the Epistle and Gospel, and I forgot to read it before the Epistle and Gospel, so I'm going to do it now. That's just so everyone knows this, and it's probably be told again sometime in the future. But just so you'll know that in Brazil, two priests, but two cases of priests in the parish discovering the traditional Latin Mass and saying it, and following the calendar that that Mass dictates. So, not according to the new way that they have the Feast of Christ the King on the last Sunday of Pentecost, that's the last Sunday in November. Instead, these, at least one priest, celebrated the Feast of Christ the King on the last Sunday of October, which is how we do it. They have been excommunicated by their bishops. And Father was just letting people know that that is what's going on in other parts of the world. Don't be surprised if it comes to us someday. But as he also said, do not worry, because we only have an obligation to obey lawful authority when it acts lawfully. It's a very simple little rule. So we only have to obey lawful authority when it acts lawfully. So to excommunicate the priest for offering the Mass that was offered for 2,000 years is clearly not acting lawfully. So we have nothing to fear, but just to warn people. Now, on to the beauty of this great feast. And we have to pay attention to time because I'm not sure how the weather's going to be, and we want to get everyone home safely. Also, copying Father, which we often do on this feast day, it's important to understand what it is. So let's hear what Pope Pius IX, in the proclamation on December 8th, 1854, what did he proclaim as the dogma? That is something revealed by God that is part of the deposit of faith. That is, to get to heaven, we must believe this. So one of the first things we all want to do today is make our assent of faith to this dogma. And here is his proclamation. First he says, for the honor of the Blessed Trinity and for Jesus Christ and honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the saints. Then he says, we, by the way, when he read this, because he wanted to make sure when he read it so that he didn't leave anything out. When he read this in St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, I don't know, it holds 10,000 people, if you heard. It's just an extremely large building. Without the aid of any kind of microphone, everyone, no matter how far away they were, they all heard him read this. A miraculous moment. We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception, by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God, and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. Hence, if anyone shall dare, which God forbid, to think otherwise than has been defined by us, let him know and understand that he is condemned by his own judgment, that he has suffered shipwreck in the faith, that he has separated from the unity of the church, and that furthermore, by his own action, he incurs the penalties established by law if he should or express in words or writing or in any other manner the errors he thinks in his heart. That's pretty clear. That's when popes spoke under the influence of grace and infallibility so that we all knew exactly what we have to believe. No ambiguity and trying to mislead. So, quickly, to just here explain slightly what that is telling us. That is telling us that all of us, there's so much. We heard this morning a great description of the story in Genesis, which we cannot go into. Beautifully described and explained. But we have to get the doctrine so we understand. What does it mean? All people are saved by our Lord dying on the cross. That includes the Blessed Virgin Mary. So you can see in the text, the Pope is making clear that the Blessed Virgin Mary was also redeemed. But she, different from everyone else, because the Blessed Mother was to be the Mother of God, therefore that singular privilege brought with it prerogatives, that is a singular blessing, that she would not be like the rest of us. She would be saved, but in a very special, singular, unique way. She would be saved not because she was touched by any evil and then baptized to have it taken away. No. The Blessed Virgin Mary was saved by a preservative way. She was not touched at all. She was preserved by our Lord's death on the cross before he had died on the cross in time. So in view of that, that's why the epistle, and we can't explain that, because the epistle is really, from the book of Proverbs, Old Testament, is actually talking about our Lord. is describing that he was there in the beginning as the creator, creating all these things. And without going through all the description, the church can make that, apply that text to the Blessed Mother, because not that she was present as our Lord himself, as the Logos, the second person, but in the mind of God, she was present. All these things were in God's mind, even though she did not exist yet. So too, her being saved was foreseen by God by our Lord's death on the cross. So she was preserved. And so, and we talk about, there's the active conception, that is what the parents participate in, but the person does not exist yet until God infuses the soul, and that is called passive conception. The theologians describe or talk about this, the original sin that we inherit is from Adam. Some people think that it's the active conception, that is the parents' participation in this procreative act. There are people that think that that physical aspect of it is where original sin is brought into it. We won't go into great detail, but theologians explain that's not the case. Because although Adam is the father of all mankind physically, because we all come from Adam, that action is not where original sin takes place. It takes place at the passive conception. That is, when God is going to infuse the soul, in the beginning, for Adam and Eve, for example, when God infused the soul into them, he gave them grace with that infusion. So at the moment that he made them human beings, because before, in the scripture in Genesis, it says, he took the clay and formed Adam's body. And then it says, he breathed into his nostrils life, the breath of life. And it says, man became a living creature. So in Genesis, it's telling us exactly, first there's the body, and then God gave the soul to make him a living creature. That's the same thing that happens to each one of us. Different way, obviously, it wasn't the way Adam was created. But so the deprivation of grace takes place at the moment that God infuses the soul, because what he wanted to do was infuse with the soul his own life of grace. But because of Adam, he could not do that. And so when he infuses the soul now, he doesn't give his life with it. He just gives human life. That has profound consequences. So that's just really a small detail, but I just say it because many people think, oh, it's just because of the act of conception that original sin is communicated. No, that's not the case. The theologian even says, what do we talk about test tube babies then? Are test tube babies free of original sin? Because they're not being conceived, their active conception is not taking place in the normal way. So what, they're free of original sin? No, they're not. So just for that side. But at that moment, for the Blessed Virgin Mary, in light of our Lord's death on the cross, at that moment, when her soul was infused into her body in the womb of her mother, St. Anne, when that took place, God gave his life. And there's a whole many things to be said about that. But we'll just mention this aspect. That gift meant that all the consequences of God's life, and we know this because of what we receive it too in a saving way, not preservative, and that's through baptism. So we gain God's life, his life of grace, and all that brings with it, the virtues and the gifts and all that. That was all given to the Blessed Mother. Also, the Blessed Virgin Mary, for this special, unique thing, was given the gift of reason. So that in the womb of St. Anne, she was aware of the gift being given to her, that life was being given with God's life. Now, this proclamation in 1854 was the Pope simply stating that something that had been revealed, that means it was given to the apostles to explain, and that was a deposit of faith. That means when he makes that declaration. How do we usually take a look at these things? And the theologians say, we look at the scripture and tradition. Why? Those are the two fonts of revelation. What do we see in there? Do we see any mention of the Blessed Virgin Mary being conceived immaculate? Well, not explicitly, but the doctrine is based on two scriptural and tradition. But the traditional shows how from the beginning in the early church, you see St. Jerome, for example, writing about this, and all the different saints, St. Ephraim, the Syrian deacon, all these saints talking about the Blessed Mother in these ways that she, from the beginning, was free of sin. So it's right being handed down right from the beginning. Oops. But the scripture, two scripture quotes, are the basis. And one which we heard in great detail this morning, we can only mention here, is what is called the Proto-Evangelium, Genesis 3:15. That is when, after the fall, then God says to the serpent, I will put enmity, I will put hatred between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and you shall lie in wait for her heel to crush you. That is, now, there is no enmity clearly in this moment between the serpent and the woman, that's Eve, because she's under him now. She's listened to the devil. So our Lord God is not talking about these particular people right now. He's talking about the woman in the future. That is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the new Eve, which these early fathers talked about all the time, making the comparisons. Look at the difference between the garden, where the evil angel comes in and fools the Virgin Eve, and how God undoes all that in a good angel coming to the Blessed Mother. Was it in a garden or in her home? In any case, the angel comes. And here, this virgin, the new Eve, listens to the good angel and does what God wants. So God makes sure he undoes all of the evil that comes into the world. Just as to make up for the eating of the tree, the fruit of that tree, he has the fruit of a new tree, the cross, the wood of the cross. So this is God's way of undoing all these evil things. Okay, that's the first basis for the explanation. Why is that the case? Why is that the Immaculate Conception? Because God is saying there is going to be a woman that comes that is not going to be touched by you. And that is going to be because she has been preserved from the original sin. That you have to think it out a little bit. You know, it's not right explicit, but it's pretty clear right there. And then we have the second basis, which is in the gospel. Because the angel does come, as we just described, undoing what happened in the garden. And the angel comes, and how does he describe the Blessed Virgin Mary? Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. There's two things there. How can she be full of grace, God's favor, God's life? How can that be if everyone comes into the world without God's life? Something unique is here. And then the Lord is with thee. How can God be dwelling within the Blessed Mother unless she has his life? You see, we again have to think it out a little bit. We also, so those, that's the basis we have, and that's the tradition, so we go on. But we have to move along just because of the time and everything. And we don't want to go into too much theology because it's the end of the day. So let's talk about a little bit of some of the liturgical beauty that comes to us, the things that hit our senses to help us to love God more. And at this Mass, we can see we have this vestment and these everything with it. Hopefully you'll study the back of the chasuble, because it's the words of the angel right back there. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And what's happening? There is the tree of Jesse, that is the ancestry of the Blessed Mother. She is at the top branches. And you see her standing there, crushing the head of the serpent. You can look on the back. This has a particular attachment because the Pope making this declaration, we don't go back that far. But this vestment was made especially by the sisters for one of Father's anniversaries, and it is a copy of the vestment that was given to him by the Carmelites in Brooklyn. They gave this as a gift, and they had received it as a gift from Pope Pius XII. So this is like the offspring of that, just to show that continuity. It's a beautiful thing to think of. And we were not able to have the High Mass today because several of the priests are not well, so we didn't have a chance to listen to the great music that goes with these words, these beautiful words in the Mass text. So we can't go into that either to leave it, unfortunately. But we're going to mention this that wasn't mentioned this morning, and Father talked about it at the table today. You all, of course, realize that this country is dedicated to the Immaculate Conception, and many dioceses in the country are. And one of the brothers pointed out that the great river that goes right through the heart of our country from north to south, we know it as the Mississippi. He told us that was not the original name. As so many things that we take as the titles and things, that is the undoing of the pagan society trying to de-Christianize, secularize us. The original name was the River of the Immaculate. So in the early days of the discovery of this country, those French Jesuits, Marquette and Joliet, we know the North American martyrs, but then they're the ones in the central U.S., and we know Marquette, the city in Wisconsin, we know City of Joliet in Illinois. Those are named after Franciscan Jesuit priests that were also explorers, obviously. And they named that river in honor of the Blessed Mother. This land was claimed for her from way back, before there was any United States. And we think of the Spanish Franciscans on the west coast of California, spreading devotion to our Lord and the Blessed Virgin Mary. That Father Sarah, we just received a book recently about Father Sarah, who founded 9 of the 22 missions in California. Another great missionary. And he carried with him a statue from Spain. And it wasn't like a little, it was a 5 foot, over 5 feet tall statue. Imagine bringing this from Spain and then bringing it with him everywhere. And called Our Lady of Bethlehem. And you can see it in the Carmel in Carmel, California. And that's where he died. And he asked to be brought into front of that statue when he died. So the Blessed Mother. And that goes back to the early days when they were in Mexico, because the Blessed Mother appeared there. There was no United States in the state country of Mexico. It was all one. And the Blessed Mother came, and she is called the Empress of the Americas. And we know that as Our Lady of Guadalupe. Just so you can see, when did she come? She came during the octave of the Immaculate Conception, destroying that evil devil, the snake that was ruining those pagan people, those Aztecs. Just pointing out that this land was claimed by the Blessed Mother way many centuries before there was any American country. So that's who we're. It's not like we decided that we're going to dedicate our country to the Immaculate Heart, Immaculate Conception. No, the Blessed Mother decided that. That's how close we are to her. That's how close we each have to feel to our mother. And those words, and Father read that beautiful poem, Thoughts of Thomas Kempis on the Blessed Mother, Stella Maris, Star of the Sea, as we have it on the right there in the altar, Antipendium. We can't read that. We'll just give you this, just so you know. Because sometimes we feel the Blessed Mother is so different from us. And she is. But she is our mother, because the prophecy was that there will be a hatred between you and the woman, between your seed, That is, the people that follow the devil and her seed. That is, our Lord and her other sons and daughters. And so we think of those words that the Blessed Mother said to Juan Diego way back when first being discovered here in these Americas. And if you remember the story, his uncle was sick and all these things, and she said, "Do not worry, your uncle, I have taken care of your uncle. He is no longer sick. Do not worry." And then she said, "Am I not your mother? Will I not take care of you?" That is a message for each of us tonight, to remember that she is our mother too, and she will never let anything bad happen to us. May God bless you.